You're listening to Kevin McCullough. Glad you're with us. Breaking news as it happens, what it means and why it matters.
Confusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
We've got a ton of stuff to get to on a majorly historic day. We'll talk technology with Ari Zolden before we're done. We've got Carol Markowitz and her thoughts on some things that went down in our nation's capital today. But first, a live report from the White House from a current special assistant to President Donald J. Trump. Andrew Giuliani joins me. Stay with us.
Binge thinking.
Kevin McCullough.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
And he's playing the role.
As well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
In Israel's entire history, there have previously been only two such agreements. Now we have achieved two. In a single month.
I am grateful to you, President Trump, for your decisive leadership. A peace that has broad support in Israel, in America, in the Middle East, indeed in the entire world.
Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. That was from the live signing ceremony earlier today as the president and then the heads of three Middle Eastern countries, Israel, Bahrain, and the United Arab Emirates. Actually, it was the Ministry of Foreign Affairs heads that joined us from those two countries. But a rather remarkable thing. You know, when I was growing up, we all saw that black and white photo, right, of Churchill and Stalin and Roosevelt as they met together to try to figure out how they were going to end World War II. And I kind of felt like this was a similarly impressive moment where you had these kind of forerunners in what will be the larger region of the Middle East declaring peace and to some degree beginning to answer the two-state question as it relates to Israel. Anyway, we're going to get a lot more on this as we go through the broadcast. Carol Markowitz, who, of course, writes in the Post every Monday, she's got a lot of thoughts, and she's very moved by this emotionally. She's already told me this in text, and she's wanting to weigh in. She'll be with me in the next segment. But I want to first turn to the son of America's mayor. Everybody knows Rudy Giuliani, but Andrew Giuliani, the mayor's son, is a special assistant to the president. He joins us live from the White House and was at that signing ceremony earlier today. And Andrew, I appreciate you making time for us. First off, in terms of the significance of what we saw with the president and those three leaders, and what we are told is it's just a precursor of more to come. What's your reaction?
Well, Kevin, thanks for having me on. You know, being there today and seeing this, you know, whenever we'd heard people talk about Middle East peace, it was almost this kind of fictional idea, this pie in the sky, esoteric idea. Well, what is Middle East peace? We are starting to see what that is. When Prime Minister Netanyahu said Israelis have prayed for this for thousands of years, and the Israeli state has prayed for this for decades, you really get a true sense of what this means historically. And all of the people that have come before them who have prayed for this, it was honestly one of these days. I feel like this White House makes history more often than the last three White Houses before it combined. Today was truly a historic day like no other here in this White House.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about that very thought, Andrew, because I've been covering elections since, I guess, Reagan's second term. So I've been doing this a while. And I was thinking, so General Jack Keane was on Fox, and he was with Harris Faulkner, my buddy, and he was telling her, he said, you know, this is a paradigm shift in Middle East policy. This is something that it wasn't that they just got people to concede to points of fact and then sign a paper. They changed the very table that they were sitting at and the perspective of everybody there. That's a paradigm shift. He's done that. But this is one of like three or four or five areas that this administration has done that. He did that in regulatory policy for small businesses and U.S. economy. In fact, it's one of the reasons I think that we're having the comeback that we're having now. He's completely changed the paradigm of the judiciary. 300 conservative judges now sitting on benches across the country. He's ended terrorism, something that your dad was very much passionately involved in advocating for, but he did it largely without firing a shot or having to put boots on the ground. And today you see this normalized relation of historic classic foes in the Middle East. This is a paradigm shifting administration, is it not?
It absolutely is. And, you know, you mentioned all of those ideals, and it truly is peace through strength. It is believing in the American ideals. It's believing in American exceptionalism and the importance of that, not just to American citizens, but to citizens of the world, to those who value democracy over the world. And that's truly how you create a paradigm shift like that. It is living those values every single day. And I can, you know, on this phone as I am with you, I can tell you, I get a chance to see the president every day on this. He lives by those values. There is nothing more that he wants than America to be strong and democracy around the world to be strong.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I think that strength or weakness is something that the voters will be deciding on November 3rd. I was looking at this number, Andrew, and I know that as a special assistant to the president, you can't really be political, but certainly the impact of these things have political consequences to them. The unemployment numbers and the discouraged worker numbers, and those are both two of the percentage rates that people track in terms of economic understanding, are now the lowest since March, the height of the lockdown. Your reaction to what this jobs first economy is doing in terms of bolstering American life?
Well, so I work in the public liaison, and the president has mandated us to make sure that the private sector takes the lead in forming policy. He wants to make sure that the people that have started businesses, big or small, that are risking it all, have their voices heard in this administration. Maybe more than 35, 40-year bureaucrats that have worked in D.C. What we've continued to learn and what we've continued to see from them with these job numbers is the fact that the president values their opinion, understands exactly what it takes to not create not just jobs but careers. Mind you, if we were to talk about this back in February too, Kevin, you're talking about the lowest employment rate, the lowest percentage employment rate for African Americans, for Hispanic Americans, and I think it was a tenth of a percentage off from the record lowest employment rate in the United States. More jobs than at any time in our country's history. This president understands how to create the greatest economy in our country's history. He's done it once, and by God, he'll do it again.
Well, and you're talking about engaging private sector. We're seeing that also played a big role in his response to COVID. I know that it kind of jarred some people yesterday, but one of the vaccine manufacturers firmly believes that they will have a vaccine to market before the end of October. Andrew, that they're not necessarily saying that all the federal government loopholes will have been jumped through, but speak to that for a second. We've never done anything at this kind of lightning speed before.
Yeah, and look, that's the president has called his team in there throughout this in January, February, and especially in March as everything was shutting down. And he basically called for an all of government, but not just an all of government, an all of America and an all of the world approach to figuring out solutions to this. And one of the first things we did was we allowed the private sector to do what they do so well, which is innovate, create, and then try to come up with a solution to this difficult problem. And I think we are going to see what that means in real time here very, very soon, as you've alluded to, Kevin.
What do you believe? Joe Biden's published a paper on what he intends to do economically. It's 95 pages. It involves a lot of reinstalling of regulations that this president undid. What do you think the net effect of that would be in terms of where you sit in terms of the negotiating with the private sector and getting them involved in solving real problems?
It'd be disastrous, Kevin. I one of the things that I really have focused a lot on with our Office of Management and Budget, our OIRA arm, is the deregulation agenda. And that was really something that the president pushed extremely hard, not just in his first 100 days, but continues
right.
to. If you remember, he made a promise to the American people when he campaigned that for every new regulation, he he would sign two. I think that number stands at 17 to 1. He would cut two, sorry. I think that number stands at 17 to 1 now. I know in the first year it was 23 to 1. the president understands the power of the private sector. And the truth is, Kevin, you know, more regulation, it hurts the smaller business more than it does the bigger business. You know, you're talking about six figures. I think the number is $87,000 to $114,000 that this president has saved the average business in legal costs and dealing with regulation over the last 3.5 years. That's the difference between a business with two or three employees being in the red or being in the black.
Totally. Well, Andrew, we're thankful for what you're doing. And, you know, we need to have a longer conversation with you about your thoughts on what your home city is going through right now and perhaps what your involvement might be in that future. But we'll save that for another time. Just promise to come back. Andrew Giuliani, thank you so much for being with us.
Kevin, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. And we will talk to you soon.
All right. Keep fighting the good fight. Kevin McCullough, when we come back, Carol Markowitz, I call her the nation's most important op-ed columnist, joins me to discuss today's historic peace signing in Washington. Don't go away.